Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 8. This edition concludes my series on recreational drugs with a final look at the popular substance known as ecstasy, otherwise known as the hug drug. The term ecstasy is derived from the Greek word ecstasis, meaning to stand outside or to transcend oneself. Various methods have been used to achieve this state, including the four-stage approach of religious mysticism. 1. Purgation of bodily desire. 2. Purification of the will. 3. Illumination of the mind. And 4. Unification of one's being with the divine. And for all you people out there that know this divine intimately, I would like you to introduce him or her or them to me, because I would like to meet them. The other method involves dancing and swirling combined with a variety of hallucinogenic drugs, including ecstasy, peyote, mescaline, hashish, and LSD. Ecstasy, or E, as it is more commonly known in the drug circles, is chemically known as methoxydimethylmethamphetamine, or MDMA. It is typically dropped, meaning swallowed, in tablet or capsule form, or sniffed as a powder and taken in doses every 2 to 4 hours throughout an evening. 1 to 6 hits are not uncommon in a night, depending on individual sensitivity and tolerance. MDMA was originally synthesized in 1914 and gained prominence in the early 70s as a legal alternative to MDA, the love drug of the 60s. It is classified as a CSNN stimulant, central nervous system, and when taken in relatively high doses, it has hallucinogenic properties. Ecstasy has a reputation of producing a feeling of expansive well-being and a high that prevents those who take it from feeling tired, providing the ability to rave all night. You may not know this, but ecstasy is recommended by some shrinks. E is utilized in certain psychiatric circles as a means of inhibiting suppressed emotions and facilitating therapy. Some psychologists report that the drug accelerates therapy by increasing patient insight and decreasing defensiveness and anxiety. Some physicians have reported that patients make more progress in a single session while taking ecstasy than during 6 months of ordinary therapy. Ecstasy affects levels of the brain neurotransmitter serotonin, which controls sensations of hunger, fatigue, and depression. As serotonin increases or fires at a greater speed, fatigue dissipates and a very pleasant and cheerful sensation settles in. As the effects of the drug wear off, however, the brain is left serotonin depleted and the person crashes, feeling tired and depressed. Taking large amounts of the drug damages the serotonin system. Unlike cocaine, the individual can usually fall asleep immediately after the sensation of ecstasy wears off. That's the big downside of cocaine use. When it's finished and you run out, you got to basically lay there for several hours. And with ecstasy, you can generally just fall asleep. Although the experiences I'm relating to vary from one person to the next. Ecstasy may cause permanent damage to the nerve terminals in the brain. Regular use over a period of 10 to 15 years may cause chronic depression and dependency. Ecstasy has anticoagulative properties and is known to cause internal hemorrhaging at high doses and frequent use. When combined with frantic dancing and alcohol, which acts as a diuretic, the body may become severely dehydrated and overheated, causing the possibility of collapse or organ failure. Even without alcohol, the pharmacological influence of ecstasy prevents hydration of the intracellular compartment of the cell. Thus, if physical activity is prolonged in a warm, overcrowded environment, such as a typical rave, risk of cardiac damage becomes a function of simple dehydration. So again, here we're reminded that it's not so much the drug, it's the state of the consumer of the drug that plays a big role in their response to the drug. Certainly the dosage of the drug, the frequency of consumption, and the biochemistry of the consumer is relative to the impact the drug has, but also the state of the consumer, their health, their wellness, is completely relative to the outcome and management of the drug also. And this is completely neglected and never even discussed in medical circles or in documentaries on TV. Like, for example, if people are well-nourished and highly trained, their tolerance for damage is much, much lower than someone who is in very poor health and uses a, you know, fair amount of the stuff on a regular basis. By the way, if you are in poor health and you have low blood sugar and dysglycemia, dysbiosis, you're more inclined to become addictive than other people that are well. Ecstasy users usually feel dazed or cloudy the next morning after using it, as if their head is in a fog. Dr. Valerie Curran from the University College in London found that ecstasy damages memory and impairs the brain centers that regulate mood, learning, and sleep, hence the term E-tarded. The purity of the drug when purchased on the street is often questionable. Stimulants are often added, such as speed or ephedrine. Street sources are sometimes laced with heroin or even rat poison, although this is uncommon. Once again, the primary risk associated with occasional or long-term use, either way, of any illicit drug is more often associated with contamination of the drug than exposure to the actual pure substance in the drug itself. Well, let's finish off this series of discussions on recreational drugs with a summary. A life of sobriety may or may not be the answer for everyone. I can think of several individuals who, as a result of abusing drugs for years, had to quit. However, since going straight, they don't appear to be any happier. In fact, in some cases, they seem quite miserable. On the other hand, for certain people, living or going straight is the best thing in the world for them. The consumption of recreational drugs, including tobacco, nicotine, cannabis, cocaine, ecstasy, and alcohol, is absolutely a choice. But whether you do or not, I think it's both noble and wise to demonstrate tolerance and acceptance, especially if you work as a sports nutrition, health, or fitness advisor. Alcohol consumption, for example, can and does influence driving competence. But on the other hand, so does human reaction time, stress tolerance, age, vision, sleep deprivation, emotional state, attention to driving, and actual driving skill. We know that food affects insulin and that affects the brain. So how many people that get into accidents while driving are ever checked for low blood sugar or insulin resistance? Now, some extremely intelligent and very successful people utilize a wide range of recreational substances at their own discretion, while others do not. Some of these substances are illicit, some of them are not. As we have learned through objective analysis, the status of a substance in terms of social acceptance and legality is irrelevant with respect to its potential harm or risk of damage. Cannabis, for example, is illegal everywhere, but is definitely not a lethal substance. In fact, it has medicinal qualities well known for healing. Whereas both alcohol and especially tobacco, although legal to consume almost everywhere on the planet, kills millions of people and is incredibly lethal at low doses. The hypocrisy is hard to swallow when the matter is reviewed with any degree of objectivity and logic. Individual biochemistry and tolerance to any substance, coupled with dosage, purity, frequency of use, and above all motive, are rational considerations. Certainly, there is not one drug addict alive that did not become addicted without that first puff, sniff, or injection. crossing the line is therefore relative. But drugs do not possess a life of their own. Alcohol, tobacco, and cocaine do not call out with an audible voice to innocent victims and beguile them into addiction like Satan did to Eve, apparently. Outside of being forced to consume anything, we are influenced by their availability, other people and circumstances, and in the end, solely ourselves. From the very beginning, the consumption of any drug is a choice, and unfortunately, most first-time choices are made in a youthful state of complete ignorance, such ignorance pertaining to the risk, long-term effect, and pharmacology of the particular substance in question. Children know nothing about drugs because they're never educated about drugs in the school system. And many, many kids do drugs, and yet they know nothing about them. How many of you listening to this audio presentation right now knew anything about the chemistry, the pharmacological effects of the first recreational drug you ever tried? Did your parents encourage you to use drugs? I don't think so. Most parents don't. Why then do we have so many people using illegal drugs and so many drug-related problems in the Western world? Education, high self-esteem, and healthcare knowledge are the ultimate weapons against self-destructive behavior. Drug addiction is possible to overcome, but only if the addict wants it to be overcome. Parents, never blame yourselves if your kids use drugs. They either will or they won't. And don't think for a moment or a single minute that all of your coercing and threats will stop your kids from experimenting. There are many advanced vitamin and nutrient therapies known to correct faulty enzyme systems in the cortex of the brain. Biochemical manipulation frequently includes the use of trace elements, botanical extracts, amino acids, their metabolites, and long-chain fatty acids. Integrative medical treatment centers often combine acupuncture and nutrition with therapeutic counseling. However, without the desire to clean up and change any habit of apparent self-destruction, no vitamin, no treatment in existence can override the inner desire that drives overconsumption of anything. That, my friend, is a matter between you and your soul. Let's not forget the number one principle taught in natural medicine and science-based healthcare education. Do you know what it is? It starts with and ends with you. In essence, you are 100% responsible for your own health. You are 100% accountable for every thought in your head, every step you take, every choice you make, and all of your action. You are the captain of your own ship. You have the hands on the helm, and it is you that directs everything you do and say. Without this awareness and understanding, we are all doomed to be ravaged and ruined by refined food, prescription and recreational drugs, and the disease management business of conventional mainstream medicine. Without taking a stand, by folding in and giving away our power and might, the medical profession will chew you up and spit you out, then charge you for the damage they call service. Each one of us is drawn away when we are enticed and baited by our own lust and passion. When our desire for immediate gratification is conceived, it's very difficult to resist, especially when it's driven by emotion and the thought of obtaining pleasure while we are in a state of pain or emotional discomfort. But we have the power to overcome every negative emotion and all temptation if we are well and whole and fit. Take charge of your life. Be proud of everything you do as a person committed to health and wellness. If you want to party and have fun within the context of these last few editions of SNU dedicated to the investigation and understanding of recreational drugs, then do so with conviction, courage, and self-direction. Own your decisions and be willing to pay the price. After all, you are the guru on the hill. You are the source of everything, both good and evil. Be wise in your own eyes. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from English entertainer and comedian Lenny Henry.
I'd stay away from ecstasy. This is a drug so strong, it makes white people think they can dance.